This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What a weekend for us. The Avalanche are up 1-0 in their series. The Nuggets are up 1-0 in their series. And the Rockies are not going to lose the series to the Dodgers. They could potentially win the series tonight. How about that? Sports is just absolutely on fire in the state of Colorado. And we got a late one tonight. Game two, Nuggets Timberwolves. Can they take a commanding lead and retain their home court advantage by handling the Timberwolves tonight? Let's unpack it. We got a power hour of a whole show today. Don't go anywhere. The whole show starts now. On April 20th coming in, I mean, I had a feeling we'd be talking about the Nuggets up and the Avs up in their series, but I didn't think we'd actually throw the Rockies into this conversation when it was up against the Dodgers. I'll hand it to Tanner Schwinn on Friday, Mike. He said he had a feeling that the Rockies would take two of these games against the Dodgers. I don't know where he was getting that information. I certainly didn't think so, but they're just, just timely hits. You've got guys now. You got a little bit of an attitude, too. They're doing so well, Mike. They're being accused of cheating. Can you believe that? Dodgers catcher Dalton Rushing couldn't figure out how the Rockies were connecting on so many first pitch swings. He said, I think they had a good game plan as an opposing team. And maybe I pitched into their game plan. As far as calling pitches, I'm not 100% sure. I think it's odd some of those hitters that do what they do, they go up there and they were only on the first pitch that was thrown. So it's a little fishy. And the Rockies throwing a little shade at the Dodgers after Dalton's comments. So when they get on base, they start doing the fishing lure thing. I like the attitude of this team. The makeup of this team, you're starting to see the athletes, the athletic ability of some of these guys, like Doyle getting on first. So many great things from the series. And then, of course, the Nuggets win on Saturday afternoon. Find a way. Did not shoot well to start. I mean, this is one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league, Mike. And they were 10 of 36. I think they were 1 of 17 to start the game out, and they found a way. One of the best defensive efforts they've had all season. They've only had 14 times before that game where they held an opponent to 105 or better, and they shut down the Timberwolves, especially in that second half. Outscored Minnesota 29-17. So Nuggets get it done. The Avalanche is kind of a grimy game. You see Logan O'Connor get his first goal in about a year and probably should have had two. There was a really goofy goalie interference call, but the Avs win 2-1. They can win games like that, Mike. And how about that? They go with Scott Wedgwood to start, which was the move. That was the right move to make. But I wondered if maybe they would, if Bednar would go with Blackwood, because he's the starter. He was the starter at the beginning of the season, and then of course they've played musical chairs with the goalies. But that was a hell of a performance by Scott Wedgwood yet again. Mike, should we get to the good, the bad, and the ugly? Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/kfka. Well, Mike, I was going to say the good is the trifecta, but you're insistent this morning saying the good should be the Rockies. I'll give you that. I'll give you that because you know what? We all expected the Nuggets and the Avs to be up 1-0 in both of their series. We did not expect the Rockies to do what they're doing, especially against the Dodgers. It's a team that battles, man. They're just battling. They're not intimidated. They've got a little bit of spice, a little bit of attitude, and I absolutely love it. They win yesterday 9-6. They won on Saturday 4-3. Friday's game was a little rough, but they ended up having it. Didn't know for sure if we were going to have it, but I'll give you that, Mike. The good? Let's go with the Colorado Rockies today, and they are now 9-13. We are well on our way to getting past the Dirty 30 before we look too terrible. So excited about the Rockies for sure. The bad for me, Mike, we have this clip. So Jamal Murray got to the free throw line a lot. Minnesota's head coach is already starting in on the officiating early in the series. Chris Finch had this to say about Jamal Murray getting to the free throw line 16 times. Here he is.
More globally defensively, I mean, you have different guys guarding Jokic at times. I mean, what else defensively do you need against this Denver offense?
Well, I mean, the 16 free throws from Murray is a head scratcher, you know, so.
How's it a head scratcher? I mean, Anthony Edwards even said Jamal Murray is very tough to guard because he's involved in every single action. And you're going to get foul calls, man. He doesn't flop. The Jaden McDaniels trying to block the shot and then falling down in Jamal Murray's little zone there that they call. Minnesota fans are trying to tell me Jamal kicked his leg out. He came down and turned his ankle slightly to the side because that's how he landed. McDaniels also turned his ankle. Listen, that play wasn't on purpose. But it is what it is. He came down in Jamal Murray's landing spot, and do they miss that call sometimes? They do. I saw a couple of times they missed it. Even for the Nuggets, they should have probably called it a couple of times, but it was a bad foul call. But let's unpack this game for the Nuggets. 116-105. It was a 10-point game after the first quarter, 33-23 Minnesota. And you're thinking, oh man, they're not ready. They're not ready for this yet. They're just not hitting shots. And again, they didn't really recover much throughout. You know, it wasn't an amazing shooting night from Denver. Joker had a slow start in this one. He had 5 turnovers, but a lot of those were early. It seemed like once he slowed down and decided this is how I'm going to play this game, we're going to get going. I thought they played him really well in that first half. But then great players find a way to get it done. Joker ended the game with 25 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists. Another triple-double for him. Jamal Murray with 30 points. Aaron Gordon, I thought, was really great in this game. He got in foul trouble early, had to sit out, I think, all of the second period. Comes back into the third, and that's when you started to see things change. Cam Johnson, I thought, had some pretty big moments. Cam Johnson and Spencer Jones playing more minutes in the second period because AG was in the foul trouble situation. It was a hell of a game. But yeah, Chris Finch is already starting on the foul calls, and so is Minnesota. They're all kind of pushing it right now. Here's what David Adelman, head coach of the Nuggets, had to say about Jamal Murray getting the free throw line so much.
He played great defense, to be honest. We made some shots. Jamal Murray is a special player. I went to work during that time. You know, he drew a lot of fouls in that quarter because he got fouled a lot. And, you know, I just thought those guys, they really held it down defensively, and that got us out in transition. Not to mention the first quarter, we just missed wide open shots. You know, I thought we were playing well. We just didn't make shots. And, you know, eventually not making shots, their defensive rebound, now they're playing with pace, now they're playing downhill. That, you know, that's a recipe for a problem. I thought the second quarter was our offense throughout the season and a much better defensive effort that really, you know, started trending into the second half. I thought the guys really sat down and guarded it, you know, throughout the second half.
David, you kind of touched on it there, but what did you see from Jamal process-wise on a night when he didn't have the three ball going?
Yeah, just toughness, man. You know, he's got a lot of responsibilities with a lot of different people guarding him that are high-level defenders that had a hold of his jersey throughout the night. So, you know, McDaniels, you know, he works hard. Anthony Edwards is on him. DeSumo, I mean, this is a challenge. So, you know, I just thought mentally fought through it, and there were timely shots that he made, you know, mid-range jump shots where they're on a run. The turnaround jumper in the third quarter was our only bucket until I sent everybody back in. It was a huge bucket just to kind of silence it a little bit. So timely shooting, unbelievable free throw shooting, mental toughness, plus 13 for the night. Didn't want to play as many minutes as I did, but I felt like the fourth quarter was one of those quarters you just go with it. I was trying to find a two-minute run, you know, to get him out. But with the lack of timeouts that I had, I mean, it was hard to control that, so I let him go. But, yeah, he's been so good all night or all year. And to your point, he's 0-for-8 from three. That's not going to happen. You know the rhythm he's been in. So, yeah, Jamal has been Jamal all year, just tough-minded.
What I loved about how Jamal handled this game, I mean, yeah, 0-for-8 from the three-point line, but he was getting to the rim. And this isn't, listen, people trying to tell me there's comparisons to what we see with Shea. Go watch that game. Tell me that Jamal is foul hunting, foul baiting, all that stuff. He wasn't. I saw the same game, and I didn't see it. I saw a guy that was struggling from the three, so decided to muck it up a little bit and just keep Anthony Edwards, you know, on, you know, running around defensively. And Anthony Edwards has that bad leg, too, so watch out for that in this series. Jamal ended up with 30 points, and he was 0-for-8 from the three-point line. I liked what Adelman had to say. Like, he got to the free throw line so much because he was fouled. He was. He absolutely was. Excellent game, though. Jamal Murray talking about the game a little bit, Mike, and what he thought of getting, you know, again, perfect from the free throw line. That was crucial in a fairly tight game, especially down the stretch. Minnesota wouldn't go away. Here's Jamal on the big night.
Did you feel like, hey, this is the game I'm going to have a whistle, I'm going to be able to get to the line? What was your mindset, especially after your team had a slow start, but you kind of just kept them tethered with your ability to get to the line?
I mean, four of them were technicals, you know, before the ball gets in bounds and this and that. So, I mean, I thought I got fouled on every single one of them, you know, so I don't know what everybody's talking about. It's real fouls.
Yeah. I mean, the Jaden McDaniels foul on Jamal when he came down in his landing zone, we could argue, but he, I mean, even if it's on accident and it's not on purpose, if your feet come down in that little small circle, they're going to call a foul there. Was it a flagrant? I mean, no, it was an accidental thing, but they really, really push that. They don't want you coming down because guys are twisting ankles and messing up their legs when they have those plays happen. So it's Minnesota already lobbying to the refs, and that we this is how it goes. This is what we're going to see in every playoff series. You're going to see the coaches, if they don't like the way a game's going or the flow. So watch out for tonight. Yeah, I think that's my one concern about tonight is, do the officials kind of change how they're calling this game because you get Chris Finch bitching about it? Well, that's good coaching. I don't think it's a bad thing that Chris Finch is doing, and he's sticking up for his dudes. It's a confident team still. Anthony Edwards, when Cam Johnson hit that three to really kind of put this away late, you saw Anthony Edwards on the bench kind of smiling, looking at his guys saying, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. This one's an important one tonight. You don't want to mess around and relinquish home court advantage or anything like that. Got to find a way to get it done. I think they will. I have them winning the series in five. I had them winning both of these games in Denver. So very confident about that. Shout out to Christian Brown too. I thought he played a great defensive game. It was their defense really that allowed them to have a poor shooting night. That's what I saw. And sometimes when you are struggling and it's a dirty, gross game, you have to have stops on the defensive end. And I thought you were getting that from Aaron Gordon. You were getting that from Christian Brown. I thought Cam Johnson, you know, again, only 12 points. I thought he played pretty good defensively. Bruce Brown had himself a night. Not point-wise, but he had 7 boards. He was aggressive. He looked like vintage Bruce Brown when the Nuggets won their championship a couple of years ago. And he's stepping it up at the exact right time. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It was a busy... I didn't even get to the ugly, Mike. We just we went on past. I got to go with the ugly being Dodgers catcher Dalton rushing. So the Rockies can't win any games now, huh? If the Rockies win games, then they've got to be doing something fishy. It's cheating or something along those lines if they're winning games. No. But what was the stat, too? Like, there's Tanner gave out a stat. I forgot what he said. Maybe he's listening. The Rockies actually being aggressive on that first pitch. They're not swinging that much. So even the stats don't line up with this. But how are we feeling, Mike? 9-13, and you guaranteed a split series against the Dodgers. Do we start believing a little bit more that maybe this is going to be a better than just a 40-plus, 50-plus team, that they might be able to get close to playing 500 baseball? They're 9-13.
I'm still remaining
neutral,
apprehensive.
Okay.
I mean,
hey,
it's April and we always get excited, but I think this is definitely a better team than last year. This is the best part is they're excited on the field.
I'm telling you.
They seem to be a unit.
Whoever came up with the coat idea, the purple coat thing after a home run, and they're dancing out there. You got Johnston, every time he gets a hit almost, he just looks over at the dugout and he does that little, little shoulder shrug. There's an attitude, there's a spark with this group. And, you know, Julianne's getting, he had three hits in this game. Moniak with the big home run. Kyle Karros is starting. I'm starting to get to the point now where these guys go up to plate and I feel like there's a real chance they're going to get something here. That wasn't always, I mean, that hasn't been the case for a really long time. There was like two or three guys that you think could maybe potentially get ahead and at least get guys on base. I'm starting to get the feeling with these dudes, you know, TJ Rumfield, the youngster. I'm just getting that feeling that when these guys come up, even Willy Castro's, there might be something positive that happens. So, congrats, man. 9-13. I mean, you got a ways to go to prove that you're really an improved team. It's a long freaking season, but Mike, they didn't get to 9 wins until we were in May last year. I don't think, right?
And they are not in the last place.
Exactly.
The Giants are in the last place,
yeah.
And the Dodgers are 13-9. So there you go. More numbers.
I think this is the first time this season the Dodgers have lost 2 in a row. It's the first time they've lost 2 in a row, Mike. So that tells you a little something. The Rockies didn't get win number 9 until May 23rd. It is April 20th. And I think Tanner and I were looking at, yeah, Oklahoma last year, the Rockies won game 9 on May 23rd. We're definitely ahead of schedule. And that's
exciting.
A month and 3 days. My hope was that they could get to 10 wins this month. And I would imagine, at this pace, they're going to breeze past that. Mike, we got plenty of baseball games to go in the month of April. They got the Padres at home playing great baseball. The Rockies are playing great baseball at home. Got the Padres at home for a 3-game series. Then they go to New York to take on the Mets. And the Mets have been struggling. They finish up the month of April at Cincinnati. I don't see why this team won't be, you know, flirting with the into the teens by the time we get to April. So this Dirty 30 quest is looking pretty good. The Rocks covered some ground after losing, 6 in a row? They were 6-6 and then dropped to 6-12. This makes up for it. They're winners of 3 of their last 4 and 2 of those in a row to the Los Angeles Dodgers. 24 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, the Avalanche get it done too. They're up 1-0 in the series, and the Kings coach is like, what are they going to do? Win the series by just scoring 2 goals a night? You know? If they have to. I think the Avs can do that now. They have the defense. I was listening to Derbs talk about it with Coach Speak this morning. And they have the defense. They have the goaltending that can win ugly games if need be. But no, I don't. I think the Avs are going to certainly have a couple of games in this series where they really pour it on. 25 minutes after the hour. Keep it here. We're on till 12 o'clock today because we've got Eaton and University. Jerry Schimmel and Bruce Dick on the call. The game on Friday was what we were supposed to have. That got postponed to Monday, so we'll gladly sidestep. For two legends in the sports world, Jerry Schimmel and Bruce Dick, and we got a great game on tap for you coming up at noon right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
McKinnon. Jokic, Makar, Murray. Hear the postseason legends and their quest for another title on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Wouldn't that make a great Monday night? The Nuggets go up 2-0 in the series, and the Rockies win the series against the Dodgers? Eh. I'm not holding out hope for the Rocks tonight, Michael, but I didn't think they'd win one game in this series, let alone two. Hey, Mother's Day is coming up on May 10th. Perfect suggestion for you guys and gals. Take that special mother in your life to Big City Roadhouse. For Mother's Day, they're updating the buffet to include breakfast items, sliders, and all-you-can-eat wings for $29.99. They're also going to be offering a complimentary mimosa for moms out there. So, listen, tonight, go watch the playoffs. It's going to be late night, 8:30-ish is when the Nuggets start. But Take her to Big City Roadhouse. Make those plans. Get your reservations. Call Big City Roadhouse. You can find them on Facebook. Just search them out, and you're going to absolutely love it. Travis, the new guy, one of our great listeners, has posted pictures all over social media of the massive pizza that he got. That pizza looked delicious, Mike. I owe you some pizza still, so we'll get over there. We'll get over there. We'll hook you up, and we'll treat you nice, okay?
We'll tell Jerry. No commercial breaks, just take it all the way through, and Brady and I are going to go to Big City Roadhouse for pizza.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just have them run through. No worries about production or anything? Yeah.
No.
I trust them.
You guys do all the work.
Yeah, I trust the guys. You got two pros in the broadcast booth today, Mike, so we'll send it over to those guys in about 30 minutes. Jerry Schimmel and Bruce Dick on the call. And we love Kyle Johnson, too. They're all good. Kyle's fantastic when he's doing games. But it is kind of a nice sidestep once in a while to hear Jerry Schimmel on the call, too. So a great broadcast on our prep with our preps team each and every game. You can expect elite style of broadcasting. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Tonight, 8:30 is the tip for Denver. I believe the Nuggets are 6.5-point favorites in this game. You don't want to get off to those kind of clunky starts often. You know, you're playing with fire. If your shooting is just going to be rough, I just don't think you're going to have that again. My thing is, can you keep that defensive intensity that you showed for what, about halfway through the second period, and then obviously in the third? They were really lights out. Minnesota made it interesting, and they're not going to go away. That's a proud basketball team. You can get up big, and they're still going to find a way to come back. Same with Denver. Denver was down 12 at one point, 10 at the end of the first period, but they find ways to just, like I said earlier, defensively being able to play a rough style of defense, keep yourself in it. And until that offense gets going, that wasn't always the case for Denver. I mean, they were a bottom 10 defense for the second straight year. And you know, I've said it, man. Teams that are in the playoffs a lot, they might not have that great reputation for excellent defense until it matters the most in the playoffs. I know this team can play defense. And when they're, what does Marlowe call it, situational defense, when they get into those modes, They could do it. Joker's feet move very quickly when he's kind of in that clamp down kind of mode. So I'm pretty optimistic that defensively they can keep up that intensity. And I think the shot making is going to really take hold tonight. I wouldn't be 7.5-point favorites. The Nuggets are. I wouldn't be surprised if tonight we see kind of more of a, maybe more, not a blowout, but more of an easy win. And you did get that in the last minute or so. I mean, the Nuggets pulled away, but Minnesota cut that thing to two, and then Joker goes down, gets that and one little falling away shot, layup slash shot. It was beautiful. That's kind of when it was like, okay, Nuggets go up four. He makes the free throw. They're up five. They controlled it the rest of the way.
If the Nuggets win tonight, do they win the series?
Oh, yes. I think the Nuggets are winning this in five. I think if you go up 2-0, you put all the pressure on Minnesota at that point. If you can steal one on the road, then, yeah, you come home and you could close this out potentially. So I do still think Minnesota gets one eventually. They're a good team. And the series might be like it was 3 years ago where the Nuggets swept them, but every game was really tight. So I could see that happening where every game, you know, is a there's 5 minutes left and it's still very much up in the air as far as who's going to win. I could see that happening for sure. Yeah, no question. But I do think Denver wins the series. I think they win tonight. And we're going to be pretty pumped about that. It's a great time. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, 33 minutes after the hour. Again, we're only on with you until noon today. We've got Preps Baseball starting right at 12 o'clock. We've got Eton and University. We were really excited to have that game on Friday, and then the weather kind of put a damper on that. So we got the postponed game today at noon. So we're excited to sidestep and let Jerry Schimmel and Bruce Dick take over for a wonderful afternoon of baseball. 34 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. Let me tell you guys about On the Rocks Liquor. The beverage of the week is the new Fat Tire Classic. New Belgium is bringing back the classic taste of Fat Tire, available in six-pack bottles. Relive the magic today at On the Rocks Liquor. Do me a favor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. Stop by and tell them we sent you here. You guys, they're in Greeley. They're kind of across from like Buffalo Wild Wings in that area. They're awesome. They get the new stuff in all the time. They've got all these summer options from local breweries and local distilleries. They're hooking us up. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Again, stop by. They got the drive-through open late, and they got free wine and beer tastings every single Friday. Michael, a little, obviously it was exciting over the weekend. Here's some local-ish news. Former CSU guard Kyan Evans. We had talked about this last week with Kevin Lytle, that he had visited Minnesota. I've said if he's not going to be at CSU, this is a pretty cool option for him. Kyan Evans is going to rejoin Nico Medved at Minnesota. That's cool. That's a cool story. You know, good for Kyan Evans. You know, he started off pretty good at North Carolina, and then it just seemed like as the season progressed, he got less and less time, and it was looking like he was just going to fall down into the depth chart more and more. So he got a lot of money. He got a lot of money to go to North Carolina. That's how it goes sometimes. I'm curious, and I'll ask Kevin about this maybe on Thursday, if there were like real deep conversations about him returning to Colorado State. I think it'd be a tough thing to do. You know, you transfer out. You had a great second season with Colorado State. You transfer out, and then you end up coming back. That's kind of a rare story. So it would have been cool, but I just had a feeling Kyan was going to look elsewhere, and it does make sense. He's a good player. He just needs a guy like Nico Medved or Ali. I'm excited to see what he does in year three.
He sounds like one of those athletes that would rather play. He made his money, but he actually wants to play.
Yeah. Yeah, he made his money. He did make some good money. And he's a really cool guy. It's hard to blame him, though. It's hard to blame him. I don't know what that was. Millions, I think? Wasn't it like, am I speaking out of turn here? Wasn't it like $2 million? And we hear that it was $2
million? I mean, millions are great and all, but it's like millions to sit on the bench.
Yeah, you go get it. Go get your bag. And now, I mean, I don't know Minnesota's depth chart like I should, but I would imagine he's going to be the starting point guard for Nico Medved. So It's all about keeping those relationships, man. This is why you don't get pissed off when a player leaves. You always keep those doors open. Ali, he had recruited Neek Clifford and pushed hard on trying to get him to CSU first. He goes to CU, and then when his playing time and he just wasn't feeling it there, when that started to go away, you know, he kept those conversations alive with Ali and then comes back. It's why you don't burn bridges, man. It's why when I get Smiley on these podcasts, we don't sit and, you know, just, oh, man, he's making a terrible decision. You just can't do that because you want to leave that door open. They got Egan Shields. Egan Shields entered the portal and then had a change of heart, got back out of the portal, and is sticking with UNC. So you keep those doors open. You try not to burn any bridges. And that's exactly what happened with Nico Medved and Kyan Evans. So that's another one. I'm excited to watch that. I'm always rooting for Nico, man.
It's, you know, it's one of those, it's a small entity, kind of like radio. Try not to burn your bridges in radio. Like you, I mean, it's small enough. You can make connections everywhere.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Like if you burn your bridges with CSU, like people are going to, you not only can't work, you can't be there at CSU anymore, but people are going to say, hey, he's that type of guy. Can we have this guy on our team?
It is frustrating, though, Mike. I will say, like, this isn't really a knock on Kyan. It's just the state of the... But Kyan Evans, who we all were pumped about, going to be this really young point guard. He was a freshman when Isaiah Stevens was there. Mike, he's going to be now on his third team. He started at CSU, goes to North Carolina, and now at Minnesota. And this is a dude I've had great conversations with. He's got a good head on his shoulders. But this is just the state of college sports. I really don't blame the athletes. I don't. I mean, if you're 19, 20, 21 years old and you had a really good season with a good basketball team, and then suddenly someone's telling you you could make millions of dollars at this age. Because I don't think, Mike, I don't think Kyan Evans is an NBA player. I mean, he's probably a guy that can go play overseas, but as we sit here today, he's not an NBA player. So now you get these opportunities for these guys that can make money where maybe they're not going to go to the NBA, but they're good enough to make money in college. I get it. But the transfer portal still has to be reworked. It's still, you don't want to see multiple guys, more than multiple guys, most guys, it seems like. We're actually shocked when we hear that a dude's saying, I'm coming back. You don't want to get to that point, which we already are, where several players in college basketball are on their third team, sometimes their fourth teams. And we know that being consistent and sticking around with one coach can really help you out. Neek Clifford, year one with CSU was good. Year two, he was phenomenal, played well enough to earn the right to get drafted in the first round. I mean, this is when you jump ship and you join another team, you gotta figure out a completely different chemistry, a completely different coaching staff, completely different plays, everything, and it makes it difficult. So I get why they do it. I mean, Mike, if you and I were playing college basketball at the age of 20, I wasn't flush with cash, man. I didn't have a ton of money. If somebody says, here's $2 million to go to North Carolina, and you might, you know, you're going to be a small fish in a big pond, that's hard to turn away. It's really difficult. And that's why it's made it such a, I think, an interesting conversation about who's in the wrong in this whole deal.
I don't know. It's probably easier for me to stay, even if someone offered me $2 million. I'm just more of those guys. If I'm comfortable where I'm at, I like to stick there. Look, money is great and all, but if I like what I'm doing, I'd rather get up in the morning and be happy than get up in the morning and, you know, have a question mark. What's my day going to be?
Yeah, no, I get you. I hear you. There's a lot that can be said, you know, when it comes to loyalty. And some of these guys that do stay loyal, you know, we're talking about them more and more. But also, like, I have a hard time knocking anybody if they're going to go out and make some money for themselves. So First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. You know, I do have problems with all of it. I do. It's just hard for me to blame the dudes directly sometimes, I guess.
I think the biggest problem, though, is not the money. the biggest problems, the people in the ears.
Oh, yeah.
Because the people in the ears don't know what the hell they're talking about. Well, it's always like Big Brother say, dude, you can make the money over there and start over there. And he doesn't know crap. He doesn't.
Yeah, and lawyers
to get money off the. It's like too many people in the ears. You need like a parent who's down to earth, or a Big Brother who is down to earth,
yeah,
to say, okay,
also,
you're going to make this decision. Here are the positives. Here are the negatives. Choose wisely.
Yeah, I get you. I hear what you're saying, but also if you're a parent, it's like. It would be really tough to turn away some of those dollars if these dudes are getting it.
Especially if you grew up poor. If you're one of those people and you grew up in a bad neighborhood, like sending them off to college is great. It gets them out of that neighborhood. Getting money is great, too. It's even better, but what are they going to do with that money, too? Because a lot of them, they don't know how to use it. They don't understand, oh, hey, there's the thing called the jock tax. Which nobody's heard of.
Yeah. Just paying taxes?
You have to pay a tax for playing a game in a state. So California has a jock tax. Colorado has a jock tax. All these different states tax athletes who make money mm-hmm. for playing a sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not everybody is up to speed on that kind of stuff. 48 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here. We'll wrap it up. We're only on until noon today. We're going to send it out to Jerry Schimmel and Bruce Dick here coming up in a moment as we'll bring some great high school baseball to you on this Monday. I guess it will be Monday afternoon. University and Eaton going at it at noon with Jerry Schimmel and Bruce Dick on the call. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Saturdays, 4 code words, 1 big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman, Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Mike, I was going to tell you we could do What Do We Learn Today since it's the end of the show. That's okay. You know, it's we're only doing an hour here, so it's kind of...
We learned a third of what we'd normally learn.
Yeah, we learned... I mean, what did we learn? We learned that it's awesome right now. I mean, we learned that the Rockies are like, you know what, guys? We get it. The Nuggets and the Avalanche are the darlings. Everybody loves them. They're playoff team all the time. But the Rockies want a piece of that too, man. They're like, hey, we wanna be talked about. We wanna show that we can actually fight here. And Warren Schaefer has been, Warren Schaefer's been great, Mike. In all these moves that they've made, the way that they're organizing their games, the way that they're playing with the way they're utilizing their pitchers, I still don't know if it's sustainable. But I'll tell you, the bats are getting hot. And you can win a lot of baseball games when you're scoring 5 to 7 runs a night. And maybe we can get to that point. You think they're going to win tonight, Mike? Are you feeling that confident with this team that, hey, you go ahead and win tonight?
Pass.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat.
I would like to see them go reverse KFKA, but you never know. You know, maybe they'll be 9-14.
They could be 9-14. In fact, I would say that they're probably going to be 9-14 after tonight. If they win this series against the Dodgers again, nobody's beaten the Dodgers twice in a row yet, and the Rockies just did that.
When's the last time the Rockies have beaten the Dodgers in a series?
Did they beat him at all? I don't think they beat him in a series at all last year, did they? I'm trying to see. I mean, their first series, they actually split the series last year in August. I'm trying to see in the first half, though. No, got swept. Got swept. That was just the first two series. They, like I said, they split in August, got swept. Didn't do it last year, Mike. So
Rockies, I can't find it, but this is the first time they've beaten the Dodgers games in a row for the first time in 4 years.
That sounds accurate. I mean, it just didn't happen very often, man.
I mean, this would be at least 4 years.
Yeah, you're
since
right.
Since they've won a series. Now, assuming that those were a three-game series, not a four-game series, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's very incredible.
It's disappointing.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean,
how Rockies of them.
Yeah, it's kind of a Rockies thing. Yeah, sure. But you know what? It's a different day today, and there's certainly a different feel around this. Brian had noticed it with me. He's like, dude, this is the most hyped you've ever been about the Rockies. It's because they're trying something new.
Since you've met him.
Well, they're trying something new, Mike. That's my big thing, is I'm not just seeing the same old thrown out there. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for different results. That's what we were seeing. The Rockies were insane.
They used to have a straitjacket every time someone won got a home run. Now it's a purple jacket.
Yeah. So good for them. All right, we'll take a quick break. Well, no, we're going to send it out to Jerry Schimmel, Bruce Dick. We've got Eaton and University Preps Baseball coming up here. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. Good night, Northern Colorado. Some connection issues out there, Mike. What are they at Butch Butler Field?
I believe so.
What's going on out there? Jerry and Bruce, we got the game starting at noon. They're still trying to figure out how to get connected and everything.
Technology is pouting. It wanted to play in the snow.
Oh, it wanted. It was its revenge for not playing on Friday.
Yeah, it was like, I love snow and rain and misery, and I wanted the guys to suffer along with me.
I guess we'll stall here as best we can, Michael. But we know sometimes those tech issues they can be difficult. We run into that sometimes around here, don't we? It's live radio, especially going out in the elements and doing games outside and connecting and all that stuff. So we'll see what they can come up with.
Yeah, it happens. Unfortunately,
did they plug it? Did they try to? Did they try to unplug it and plug it back in? Did they do that?
I believe that was Tanner's idea. Now he's coming up with another idea. I think hitting it.
Tanner just texted and said, "Don't worry, I'm on my way."
Yeah, Tanner's he's the smart guy when it comes to that piece of technology.
Well, yeah, he used it for so long and he knew how to troubleshoot and he figured it all out, and you know, hats off to him, man. He bails us out of a lot of crap that we get ourselves into.
Yeah, thank you, Tanner. I know how to do. There are two ends of it. I know how to do the studio end. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do the field end.
Well, it's because we got to get you out there. We got to get your real life experience out there one day, Mike.
Pass.
Call a couple of games out there.
Pass.
No, I think it'd be great. We could hear you call a game. Yeah.
Yeah, it better be a football game, not a baseball game. You'll hear me snore.
You don't like high school baseball, dude? High school baseball in this area is so freaking good. We have
so
many great teams. Can I have an
umbrella to hide me from the sun?
We just cake the sunscreen on, man. You look like Marlon Brando in that weird movie where he had all the sunscreen and the hat all over the place. Remember that? I've never seen the movie. I don't know what movie it is. but it's a movie. It's out there. Look it up. Marlon Brando sunscreen. Google
I'd rather be Marlon Brando from The Godfather.
No, you're definitely not Marlon Brando from The Godfather.
You know, Brian left a window open, an IMDb window open a few days ago, like the best movie franchises. The Godfather was like number 82.
Number 82?
Yeah. Like, I was absolutely upset by that because the third one wasn't super great, but the first two were amazing.
Hmm. You know, I watched The Godfather, Mike, but I don't.
No, you got that from.
No, using it's not that from as an Family Guy. It's not from Family Guy. I don't think it insists upon itself, whatever that means. I don't believe that. It's not one of those movies where I'm just like, yeah, this is the greatest movie of all time. Or one of the great movies. I never really felt that way.
Oh, dude, it is. Like, I'm one of those, like, I was one of those people who would, like, you know, I resist, like, oh, this is a great movie. People think it's a great movie? Meh. You have to prove it to me. I watched the first Godfather, like, as an adult, not as a kid. Watched it as an adult. Blown away. Watched the second one and just blown away. Like, they're both that good.
I know we could talk Godfather all day, Mike, but here's a question. I got a question for you. Of the three teams that we're talking about so much right now, which movie around them would be the better movie?
Rudy.
What?
I'm sorry.
Stop. I swear, you have some weird crush on Samwise Gamgee. Is it the feet? Is that what it is? He was in Rudy, by the way. He was a hobbit in Lord of the Rings, and you mentioned Rudy more than anybody. What's the better movie?
It's a great movie.
Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets and Joker's rise to fame, being selected in the second round, and he's got a picture of him when he's a kid, and he's kind of out of shape, he's pudgy, and he's like, does anybody want to get a game going? And his story.
Drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
During a Taco Bell commercial. Nathan McKinnon, is that a story? Is that a great movie? He was supposed to be good. He is good. He's one of the best. Is that, or is a movie around Jared Bednar? Jared Bednar is a pretty good movie. Nobody really knew who he was. And then he wins a Stanley Cup. He gets hit in the face with a puck.
Doesn't make a noise.
And maybe Gabriel Landeskog's a movie. Or the Rockies. Like today, you can't.
The Rockies
go to the playoffs, that's a movie.
The Rockies would be The Conjuring 5.
What is that?
The Conjuring, I think it's.
Isn't that scary?
I've never seen any of the movies. I don't like horror movies. I think they're dumb. But The Conjuring is like a horror movie franchise where something happens and I think there are demons.
Okay. No, I missed that one. I've heard of it, but I did not see this movie. What's the more entertaining, like the better storyline right now in our these three right now that we're talking about?
Probably the Nuggets because it's too early in the Rockies season.
And
like,
the Avalanche
just
are
way
just
too early.
The Avalanche are just good, Mike.
And they're
every
supposed
year
to be good.
We expect the Avalanche to be good. The Nuggets. I don't know that they were ever overwhelming favorites to win a title, even when they won the title. I think Phoenix was actually picked to win the series over Denver when Denver won in 6, I believe. The Avalanche, you could say, they've been picked to finish top, to win the Stanley Cup several years. They're certainly the favorite to win the Stanley Cup this year, Mike. So I just don't know if it's that sexy of a story, you know what I mean? I mean, it's a great story, but nobody wants to see a movie where it's just they were good, they were still good, and they're still pretty good at the end. That's not really a movie. The Rockies would make a great movie.
It's a movie for the hometown crowd. It's a movie for, you know, like that stuff that they put out for the NHL, like the 2009 season, the 2010 season, they were good this season. But, like, as far as a Hollywood thing,
The Rockies would be the best if they can find a way to, even if they just make the playoffs. If they
go, but like nothing's happened yet. This is like the first part of the movie. This is the first act. Like you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they pulled it off and make it to the playoffs this year, then I think that would be, even if they lose in the first round, win the wild card round, that'd still be a hell of a movie.
It'd be a play-in games, which are absolutely ludicrous.
There's no play-in game in Major League Baseball.
Don't they have that?
No. They did away with the one-game wild card thing. It's a best of three.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, they did away with that.
Because I hate that. I absolutely hate that. That's stupid. You shouldn't let nobody, losers, try to get into the playoffs.
It wasn't that. The teams that are still going to the wild card, the one game, are still going to the playoffs. They're just making it a series now rather than one-off. So they're still getting in to the playoffs.
So,
baseball has less than everybody else.
I liked it before. I liked it before. Like, you guaranteed winners. And I liked the NFL before this 7-per-conference.
I just don't have an issue with it. I don't have an issue with the NFL. I know football to me is fine, having multiple teams in it. I think the NBA could probably do away with two of their... I definitely don't really care about the play-in game. I've gone back and forth on it. Overall, I know the Miami Heat won and they were a play-in team, but overall, if everything goes the way it should and not 450 guys are out when Miami's making their run, then the play-in games are just pointless. It's just a week of stall until the playoffs start, and then the play-in team's typically going to lose.
I can tell you what's going to make a bad movie.
What?
The AFC North. All four teams going 0-14-3, and the Browns making the playoffs by default.
What? One more time? I was distracted. I was looking at text.
0-14-3.
Uh-huh.
All the teams in the AFC North not winning a game, losing 14 games, tying 3.
That would be that would be a weird movie.
And then everybody would go, oh, we need to fix this. We need to go with the Micah Kilpatrick solution, which means if you don't have enough winning teams, like, if you don't have a winning record, then screw you.
Mike, you don't even have... What plan are you talking about? You don't have a plan.
I have a plan. If you win your division, but you don't have a winning record, congratulations. You won your couch during the playoffs.
It doesn't... You've told us... You tell us you have all these plans, these drawn-out plans to save college football. Yeah. And I don't mind that. I think winning your division is important. And if you take that away because you are under 500 and suddenly you don't get to... No, it's about winning your division first. That's the first thing we look at, Mike.
And you shouldn't have home field advantage.
No, I agree with you there. I can go with you on that.
I can't. My conference is full of losers, but I get home field advantage because I'm the best loser of the conference. You have to go. You have to be at least 9-8.
No. I think you win your division, and that's just the way it is. I'm going to fight you on this one because I think that's what makes the NFL so good, is it is really about winning your division. Like the NBA, nobody cares if you win your division. It's just about getting to the playoffs. Most leagues, the NFL is the one that really tries to narrow it down, and we have battles within the division that kind of create these little mini rivalries and mini stories. I think that's the way to do it. Whether you're 500 or under 500, I know it sucks, but it's not appealing, but I still wouldn't change it because I think winning your division is what it's about first. So that's what I would do. Updates, Mike, how we doing out there? Any word from the squad, from the team, the crew right now?
I do not have word yet. I think they're still
Man, they're having issues out there, huh?
They are, yeah.
Just having some major issues. Major tech issues. Well, we think we're going to have baseball for you here in just a moment between University and Eaton. The fellas are figuring it out right now as we speak. I'm confident, Mike. I'm very confident in this team. You know, they just get the job done no matter what. So we'll take a quick break here. We're either coming back to send it out to Jerry and Bruce, or or we're just going to come right back to them. So we'll take a break right now. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.